Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that here we are in the late afternoon, and this is not easy for these guys. I'm amazed if they can stay awake. But I pray you'd give us a new spirit of energy. And I do pray that this little exercise would be a wonderful, encouraging thing for each person here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Listen to this from Matthew 11 in the message, 11:28-30. I'm sure many of you have heard this. This is wonderful. Are you tired? Worn out? Some of you guys have bags under your eyes that make your nose look like a pack horse, so I think it applies. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? You can say that again, right? Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that a great phrase? I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that great? Yeah. Well, we're going to take do a passage here, but before we do it, let me make a couple of preliminary. I'm looking, kind of cutting through my notes here. You know that in Mark 1:21-34, if you study it, it's the single busiest recorded day in the life of Christ. He healed, he preached, people end up at his house in mass late at night and so on. And then it says early in the morning he went out and he prayed at a solitary place. And I mentioned earlier Luke 5:15-16, in the middle of a very heavy, intense ministry, Jesus just walks away and goes up to the mountains to pray. And these passages illustrate that Christ had his priorities. You never see Jesus running. You never see him rushed. You never see him uptight. His life was measured. And I'm convinced that what he would do is go up and be with the Father. And the Father would say to him, now, son, this is what I want you to do. Go over here and do this and this. And everybody else was trying to run his life for him. But because he was in touch with the Father, he had a God-ordained sense of priorities. And, of course, that's the model for us. And that's why we keep talking about we need to get with God. And this frantic do list you have, someone said, woe to the nervous activity of those of little faith. So you're frantically, you got all these things. All you have to do is take the do list in the morning and say, God, is this your do list or mine? And you're listening to the Spirit. And he says, no, cut these five out of here. And you do more with less. Reverence for God, Proverbs 10:28, adds hours to each day. Let me suggest that you need three D's in your life. Desperation. Discipline and desire. Now, sometimes you're not going to have any desire to do it, but you have the discipline, you do it anyway. Mature people do what is right, not what they feel like doing. You get up every morning and you go to work, whether you feel like it or not. That's what you do. Now, I think I'll skip that. I'm just watching our time here. Many of you are familiar with this little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home, and Christ walks us through his life. And actually, it's a metaphor. He walks through your life. The kitchen are your appetites, and the library is what you're thinking in your mind. The closets is all the stuff you've stuffed in there you don't want anybody to see. And then you get into the, I guess they call it the living room in here. And Christ said, I'd like to meet with you every morning, and I'll take a book off of the shelf, and I'll open the Word to you, and we'll have fellowship together. And the story goes that the guy comes down on his way out to work or whatever, and Christ is there with a fireplace going, and Christ opens the Word to this guy, like in Luke 24, and they just have this wonderful fellowship. Well, then as the pressure of time and responsibilities increased, he'd start his missing days and so on, and would hit and miss and so on. One day he's rushing out the door. He looks in and hears Christ sitting there waiting for him, and he goes in. He says, have you been waiting? He says, yeah, I've been here every morning waiting for you. And he says, what you don't understand is not only do you need the fellowship, but I desire your fellowship. So it cuts both ways. And that's Christ every morning is there waiting for us, or whether you do it in the evening or what. Now, There's a Greek word in the New Testament, that the word is meditation. And it defines it in two ways. Visualization, application. I am the bread of life. The most brilliant mind in the universe talked in word pictures. I am bread. Everybody could picture bread. Well, what do you do with bread? You eat it. You live in the desert of Israel. I am water. I am the water of life. Well, it's a sustaining force. We drink the water. And so Christ took complex ideas and reduced them to the simplest picture form imaginable. We used to have computers that had the DOS system. Do you remember that? Meditation is taking DOS and changing it to Windows. Okay? So meditation has two meanings. Visualize it, and then what are you going to do about it? Visualization, application. Now, if someone hands Steven Spielberg a potential movie script, a guy with a fertile mind like that, he'll read through that, and as he's reading it, he can smell the sweat of the horses and the thunder of the hoofs of the horses and all that goes on, and his mind is running wild with behind the scenes of what you could put into the script. So what we want to do today is we want to work on this idea of meditation. Now, let's see here. Rich, if you and I wanted to go to New York after the conference, how would we do that?
Well, we'd probably go on the internet and find ourselves some tickets and
fly to New York.
Fly out of Omaha, New York.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Another is get a backpack and say, why don't we take 5 years to get there? In fact, we don't care if we ever get there. We're just going to meander our way toward New York. We come into a little mining town or a farming community that was settled in 1845, and we sit down with third generation people and drink coffee and smell the ham hanging in the old store, and we absorb the culture. And 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now, we might make it to New York. We really don't care if we ever get there. The process is more important. Reading the Bible is like flying at 35,000 feet from here to New York. It's just, you know, and what you do, you get your, you know, you get up in the morning, Mark here, it's Mark, no, Grant, Grant Hill, Grant, his name is Grant, because my brother's name is Grant Hill, the great basketball player, except it's not the real basketball player, but it's Grant, right? All right. So here Grant gets up in the morning, he's a student, and he's been at the conference, and he says, okay, God, you got 5 minutes, and he goes, amen, thank you. And please bless me what I read. And he hasn't, I'm sorry for picking on you. He hasn't a clue what he read. That's the way most of us approach the Bible. So reading is like an airplane going across in an airplane. Meditation is this idea of meandering through the scriptures. Reading would be like taking a shower. Meditation would be like soaking in the tub. Okay? If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 1, and you need a piece of paper, and we're going to work on this together. Visualization, application. The reason I'm doing this, gentlemen, is I've come to the conclusion that most men, if they have a quiet time, it's rather dry, it's rather boring. And it has to do with learning how to make the Bible biodegradable, break it down. This is an art form that we need to learn. And coupled with the working of the Holy Spirit, it can be a profound experience. Okay, you got Psalm 1? Okay, here we go. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Now, if you were locked in a room, or let me just do this. I have this watch, and I say, I'm going to lock you in here for 5 hours, and I'll give you $100 for every idea that you can come up with about this watch. So, you know, okay, it's leather, probably came out of Nebraska, right? The cows. And then there was Farmer John that raised this cow, and it was beef fed. And then we've got the cheesy stuff that looks like gold, but it really isn't. Where'd that come from, you know? And we go on. And you would be amazed, because you're all money grubbers, you would be astounded at how many things you could come up with in 5 hours. Am I right? I bet you could come up with 500 things. The people, the material, how it's processed, it comes out of a a mine in Argentina or somewhere, and the people that put it on the train or however they do it, or the ship or whatever, you know, on trains from Argentina, and so forth. So there's more. There's so much here if you would just discipline yourself to focus on it more than you can ever imagine. Am I right? There's a lot of stuff here, even taking a plastic thing like this, a petroleum product, and so on. So that's what we're going to do with Psalm 1. Now the trick here is to slow it down. So someone said one time, don't read the Psalms, do the Psalms. Now I lost my notes. Okay, but I know Psalm 1, don't I? Okay, the first phrase, blessed is the man. Okay, let's stop right there. What do you think that means? Blessed is the man. What would a blessed man look like? You tell me.
Joyful.
Huh?
Joyful.
Yeah. I look at Wakeman. He's a blessed man, isn't he? Wouldn't you say? At least he's a very good actor. Okay, what else?
Fortunate.
Huh?
Fortunate.
Come on.
Good things in his life.
There's good things in his life.
Satisfied.
Yeah. What else?
Peaceful.
Huh?
Peaceful.
He's at peace.
He's experiencing God's favor.
God's favor is in his life. Anything else?
Faithful to the Lord.
Probably has to be faithful to the Lord.
Content.
How would you describe, probably your guess, educated guess, his relationships with his family and so on? Fruitful. What else? Meaningful.
Positive.
Positive. Yeah, they're not biting each other's heads off, are they? Yeah, you can see the guy. I think of, when I read this, think of Jim White. Any of you know Jim White? You know, just. And you write those words down. Technically means happy of soul. Technically, he has a happy soul. But the thing to do is you have a piece of paper and you take the word blessed and just let your mind run free with it. Blessed. Write all those things down. You're probably in the ballpark. And then you stop and say, Lord, I don't feel that way about myself. I'm angry. I'm always running late. My wife and I are strained with each other. And I'm just kind of ticked at you, frankly, over a couple of things. And I'm asking you to change me from being uptight, angry, frustrated, with strained relationships. I'm asking you to begin the process of moving me from this to a blessed man. Are we together? All right. Blessed is the man who what? What's the first thing? Does not what? Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What the heck does that mean? Oh, really? Except Jesus hung around. He was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. Matthew 11. So it can't mean that. Jesus hung with the lowlifes of the city, right? He was a friend of sinners. So it can't mean that. They were not his advisors. Yeah. What business are you in?
I work for Back to the Bible.
Oh, do you? Good for you. Yeah.
They walk in the counsel.
They what?
They walk in the counsel. It says, does not walk in the counsel.
Yeah. Well, now, what areas of your life do you get counsel in? Legal counsel? Financial counsel? Marital counseling? Right? I mean, I have not an attorney, I have an accountant. And so he advises me on how to handle this money stuff. So it says don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. What would be a wicked? What would qualify as wicked? How do you know the guy's wicked? Maybe he would. Say that again? Yeah, maybe it doesn't square with this. Maybe the guy doesn't look at his profession through the lens of the scriptures or something like that. Doesn't adhere to this. So I've got a very gifted accountant, but he's saying, now, Dwight, There's a way that we can get around this. It's not in the spirit of the law, but in the letter of the law, we can get around this tax thing. And I'm saying, I want to be a blessed man. I'm going to get another accountant. Or I'm in business, and the attorney says, here's a way to write this contract. In small print, they'll never know it, but it'll get us past this problem we've got. And you say, no, I want to be a blessed man. I'm going to get legal counsel from people who respect the values of God's word. And you know, you're having marital problems, and the guy next to you in the shop says, well, just cut off her money, the food money, and squeeze her on it, you know, and don't put gas in the car for her anymore, blah, blah, blah. You're not walking in the counsel of the godly, see. So I do inventory. I stop right there, and I say, God, is there any area of my life where I'm getting godless counsel? And I let the Holy Spirit speak to me, and it's, yeah, the way you're doing this or that or whatever. Are you with me? Are we together? All right, what's next? Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. What picture do you get in your mind on that? What picture comes to your mind? Help me. Doesn't do things what? Okay, but what about this? Yeah, but it says does not walk in the way of sinners. What? And what does that mean? He's going down a path towards sin. Okay, yeah, help me. Yeah, a certain path that they go on, yeah. So I have a picture when I read this of, you have this factory, the whistle blows at 4 o'clock and everybody goes out the door and they turn left down to Rosie's Bar and there's a bunch of loose women down there and this godly guy lives down that way past the bar. When he goes out of the building, he turns right and walks around and goes this way. He's not walking in the same path. Okay? And I might say, God, am I doing that? Yeah, you're watching, Orange County Babes or whatever it's called, or what is it, Desperate Housewives or whatever, Sex in the City, you're participating in the sewer that these people are in. Maybe vicariously through the tube, or they're sitting around the lunch table telling dirty jokes and you're right in the middle of it and all that. So I just ask the Holy Spirit to say, how am I party to the lifestyle and the path of the wicked? Are we together? But I read it, I try to understand what it says, I record what I think it means, and then I stop and I invite the Holy Spirit to instruct me at that point. Is there anything here? Am I doing that, Lord? I'm listening. Okay? The third thing, does not sit in the seat of mockers. What on earth is that? Does not sit in the seat. You notice it starts off with walk, stand, sit. Isn't that interesting? There's a progression here. Now this guy's sitting there in the seat of mockers. What picture comes to your mind? He's what? He's comfortable. Yeah, where he's at. Okay. He's stopped and joined them now. He's party to them. Yeah. Yeah. And you're involved with that. I have a picture of a guy in the lunchroom where there's a 2 o'clock lunch break or coffee break. And you know, they're sitting there and they say, yeah, you know, Clinton sucks. Yeah. And this company, blah, you know, yeah. And we're all, and the tax structure and this and Iraq. And I'm party to this cynical, angry bunch of people that are mad at everything. Are any of us guilty of that? Yeah, we're a nation of whiners, are we not? Yeah, we're angry, we're spoiled, rotten, and we're whining about this and we're whining about that. He does not sit in the seat of the mockers. And I stop and I say, God, am I doing that? Yeah, just the other night at the barbecue, you're all sitting around slamming Bush. I don't necessarily agree with everything he's doing, but it says to pray for the guy, not to slam him. And we're just ripping the guy apart, or whatever it is. A cynical, angry view of life. Are we together? Make sense? Are you out there? You guys want to go home now? Well, come on. I mean, okay. You can't be as bad as you look. I mean, are we together? Yeah, each of these little things, you just take it a phrase at a time, try to pick it apart, and get the essence of what it's saying. Think about it. Dissect it. But, verse 2, what? His delight is in what? Okay, let me pick some. Huh? Yeah, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Are you married? Right here. No. I want to pick a relatively young guy here. Okay, let's see. Yeah, we talked. You're married.
Yes.
This guy from Columbia, South America. Do you have kids?
Yes.
And how old are they?
6, 3, and 1.
How come you're smiling?
And
6, 3, and 1. The 3-year-old, is it a girl or a boy?
Girl.
Tell me about her. What's her name?
Sophia.
Look at the smile on his face. What do you like this little girl?
Yes.
What do you like about her?
Everything.
One thing.
Her white hair.
White hair. What's the most delightful thing she does that really brings delight to you? Like when you come home, maybe?
Yes.
What does she do?
Jumps in my
Does that just knock your head off? Do you delight in that? All right, that emotion right there that he's feeling, God says, I want you to delight in this. I want you to love this word and delight in it, just like he's delighting in that 3-year-old girl. Are you with me? God, I can't get enough of this. It's sweet. It's pure. It's life-changing. But I stop and I say, you know, Lord, frankly, I don't delight in it. I do it out of guilt. I do it out of obligation. Would you change my heart over a period of time where the Word of God becomes a secret delight to my soul? And how does he evidence that delight in that phrase, verse 2? His delight is in the law. Law of the Lord. How do you know that? Because he does what? He meditates day and night. He's obsessed with it. This guy has a magnificent obsession in his life. The Word of God. I think back when I met that redhead. The babe that I'm married to. The most gorgeous 67-year-old you've ever seen. And I mean, I got obsessed with this woman. Huh? I mean, she captivated my life. And God is saying, I want you to be captivated, obsessed with my word. You want to be a blessed man? There's 3 things you're not going to do. But there's 1 thing you are going to do. You're going to delight in this book of mine, the truth of it, day and night. And I say, God, forgive me. Would you change my hard heart and make it soft and give me a fresh joy of digging into this book? Are we together? Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. And where's our friend? Who's a tall drink of water that I'm supposed to obey here? Okay, I want you to take a clean sheet of paper, if you have it. If you don't, raise your hand. Maybe we can get paper to people. I want you to draw a picture of verse 3. I'm going to give you 10 minutes. Picture the nation of Israel. Ron, I have till 3:35, right?
Yeah,
40. Okay. Yeah. So what I want you to do is just draw verse 3 and read between the lines. Let your mind go fertile with this, like Steven Spielberg. Just try to picture what that looks like. Draw it and see what you come up with. Just let your mind run a little bit wild with this, okay? Read it carefully. Don't miss what it says. And then read between the lines. Dig it out. There's a lot in there, more than you can imagine. Picture the conditions in that part of the world, the hot desert, the kind of people that are there. Okay. What did you come up with? Just let's have one idea after another. Yes.
I got two thoughts. I thought of an old gospel song. I'm drinking at the springs of living water.
I'm drinking at. Let me just repeat. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Yeah.
My soul is satisfied.
Yeah.
The thought I had was we thought about fruit, and I think the fruit is spirit.
Okay, fruit.
Love,
fruit.
Joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
Yeah, the fruit of the spirit.
And the picture I drew was the tree planted, there were a couple of rivers.
Yeah.
Guys catching fish. And there was a big truck full of the fruit going to feed the world.
There you go. Okay, there's a guy on. There's more than one stream, right? And the guy's fishing there, and they're catching these fish, and they're putting the fruit in a truck, hauling it off. This is a very fruitful. I mean, very alive, healthy place. Good. Someone else. Come on. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a big tree house on the top of that tree, and kids are going up and down because they know that's a safe place.
That's beautiful. The tree has become a... See, you're the tree. We're the tree, right? And so it's a place where... It's a safe place. It's furnishing... Well, I don't know what to say anymore, but... yeah. Okay, someone else. Come on, that's good. Yeah. Right here. There's smaller trees. Why? Why are there smaller trees?
The overflow of this thing's
helping. All right, this is an apple tree. An apple falls to the ground. What happens? The pulp dies, but what happens to the seeds? The wind blows it. You come back 20 years later, there's an orchard, right? So Tom Buzzard and others here have shown me their families. Paul Hensley, just this beautiful family. His life has become an orchard. And heavens knows the people... probably the hundreds of people that he's affected one way or another over these 40 years. Dwayne, the same way. So this is a reproducing tree that is bearing fruit of its kind, right? And created an orchard. Dwayne?
I was thinking in the background, you're going to see trees that are dying, suffering from lack of water.
Ah. They're not dead trees, dying trees, that weren't smart enough to get close to the water. What else? Come on. What else? Yes. Yes. The metaphor is, yeah, you're going to, you know, John 4:14, Christ is the living water, but we're tapped into Christ. Does it make any difference how hot it is out there? Doesn't make a hoot. The conditions above the water, above the line, doesn't make any difference. But I'm giving it away here. So yeah. Feeder roots are providing unlimited supply. This tree in 125 degrees is just having a party. And the sun is just beating down like crazy. The wind is blowing. Doesn't make any difference, huh? Yeah. What else? Come on, guys.
Whatever he does prospers.
So, it could
be his family, his livestock, his farming operation, his business.
It's working. Yeah, his life is working. God is prospering this guy because the feeder roots are down into Christ, the water. Isn't that powerful? What else? Yeah. So he can go and catch fish and yeah, and they're healthy because okay, good. Someone else over here.
Yeah, I got people planting additional things.
Yeah. Yeah, so there are people that are doing some farming and planting others trees or whatever. Oh, somebody planted the tree there. Yeah, that's a thought. Yeah.
There's shade underneath this tree.
There's shade. Why is that important?
It's hot.
It's hot. Yeah. So you're out in the desert, 50 miles away, in a caravan, and you can see off in the distance. There's an orchard there, and you make your way to that. It's a safe place. It's a rest place of respite. Someone over here had his hand up. Yeah. Yeah. Don't make any difference, because he's rooted in the water in Christ. One or two more. Yes, sir. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, you can have 110 mile an hour wind or 150, and this tree just bends, but it's solid rooted. Does anybody know the term root to shoot ratio, that type of thing? Okay, who's in the farming business can explain that here? What is this, Nebraska? Where are we? Yeah.
Well, the trees, what you talk about, is because the leaves are the ones that lose moisture to the air, that you need to have enough roots taking up water to replace it.
Yeah.
Whack off the roots like when you transplant trees, they're still the same amount of leaves, that tree's going to dry up, you're going to have twigs and things.
Okay,
like
there you go. Could it be that we have a very beautiful tree that is very leafy but no fruit? So we have beautiful Christians, you know, but they never bear any fruit. So we got leafy Christians without being fruitful Christians, right? What about the word, it says it yields its fruit? What does that suggest? You have to walk up with a Colt 45 and say, okay, drop the fruit. No, it just happens naturally, doesn't it? It's a natural, easy process. Yeah.
But it yields its fruit in season, so it's not perverted, it's not strange.
Ah. It's in the rhythm of life, that type of thing. Okay, I think we've made our point here. So, guys, do you understand what we're saying here about meditation? Do you get it? Visualization, application, slow it down, take less scripture. So, what I would suggest, look, for most of you, you get up and you go to work. You go to bed at 11 o'clock, you get up at 6. And what I would suggest, or whatever it is, some of you guys get up at 3 or whatever, you know, whatever you do, but just for the sake of illustration, let's say you tend to go to bed at 11, you get up about 6. Go to bed at 10 minutes to 11. Get up at 10 minutes to 6. Instead of leaving the house at 7:30, leave at 7:20. Get in your car, turn off your cell, turn off all the electronic, drive toward work, pull over on a side street, put your Bible on the steering wheel, and say, God, you and I have 10 minutes. Nobody knows where I am. I'm alone with you in this car. Let's do 10 minutes together. Build the consistency of 10 minutes every day you go to work. Are you with me? And just go to bed 10 minutes early, get up 10 minutes early, leave 10 minutes early. But just get the principle of that to build this into the flow of your life. And as you do this, you will gain an appetite for this. And pretty soon the 10 minutes is, you say, I got to have more time than this. And pretty soon it's 15 and 20. But it's not strained. It's happening naturally. The day will come when you, and the other thing is, I suggest you start with a book of Psalms. What is the day? 24 today? Say the 24th?
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow morning is the 25th. Either do Psalm 25 or in multiples of 30, 25 or 55 or 85, etc. Take the date of the month and do that date or in multiples of 30. Are you with me? Now, 3 or 4 months from now, you say, you know, I need more than this. What's next? All right. You start with Psalms and then you add Proverbs. Tomorrow morning would be the 25th proverb. But don't do the whole thing. Do 4 or 5 verses. Just pick a few verses. Are you with me? And I come back a year from now that you invite me and you give me an honorarium. And no, I'm kidding. A year from now, you say, I need more than Psalms, I need more than Proverbs, then take a book of the New Testament. But instead of doing a whole chapter, let me just pick something here. In my Bible, okay, I'm in, this is Luke. And I notice in these here I'm in Luke 8. You have little sections. Jesus calms a storm, verses 22 through 25. Just do that one little thing like we did with Psalms. Go deeper with less. Are we together? And then 5 years from now, when you're really spiritual, add the Old Testament into it. Okay? And I think that we are done. Any questions before we quit? Did you learn anything here? Does this make... Yeah. It's dynamite, isn't it? I don't think that you can absorb the Word of God without meditation. So let me just add this, just this one little thought. You take the car, you pull over, and just a 30-second prayer. God, would you open this up to me? Enlighten me by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Amen. And then do your little exercise. It's something about a paper and a pencil that you need to do that. It slows it down. It makes you think. Write it out. When you're done, to pick one truth out of this Psalm 1, God, I am not blessed. I'm quite angry. Would you begin to heal my soul that I become a man with a happy soul who can delight in your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Are we together? Thank you very much. Okay.